أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلى على رسوله الكريم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, just before starting, I just received some advice. Inshallah, the term in our lecture, there is a lot of Islamic term and there is a lot of non-Arab speaking as well. So we should make ourselves, inshallah, familiar with using of the Islamic language. Allah will try my best to translate the things in English, but try, inshallah, to pick up, like, you know, we know the word Salah means prayer, we know Siyam means fasting, and we know the word Quran means the book of Allah, Quran. So when I say the word Sunnah means the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from time to time, inshallah, I will try to do that as much as possible. And JazakAllah khair for your advice, and always, you know, most welcome to give your suggestions and comments on my lectures, inshallah. Today, we are still speaking about innovation in religion, which was in the khutbah today. And since today is the second lecture of that, so I will try to gather all the subjects, what we said last week, and what we are going to say tomorrow, all of them together, so to make one subject, inshallah, in the next 45 minutes or so, and then we'll open for your comments and questions, inshallah. We know that a person who is doing the bid'ah or doing the innovation of religion is doing it for more than one reason. Number one, want to get close to Allah with some worship, some act of worship, some practice of this religion. Number two, his intention may be right, may be wrong. His intention is good intention, that he wants to get closer to Allah with doing more and more, to the point that he starts inventing things, or that his intention is that the way shown by the Prophet, or the way it is shown the companions of the Prophet, is not enough, or does not fulfill what he or she needs from spirituality, you know, needs from practicing. So if the recitation of the Quran does not give that fulfillment, as Rasulullah used to recite, or still you recite every 3 days, or every week, or every 15 days, or every month, to finish the Quran once, you know, recitation. So say, oh, it's too long, I'll finish it every day. The Prophet said, don't do that. But he or she will do, thinking this will make closer to Allah. So that's why Islam from the very beginning cut that rule, that method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glory be to him, in the Quran, he said, وَمَا أَتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet, the Messenger give you, that's what you should follow. Whatever he told you to avoid, you should keep away from it all the time. Don't even think about coming close to it. Also the other verse, Allah said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ قَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeyed the Prophet, really he's obeying Allah. Why? Because the Prophet does not bring anything from his own. He brings from where? Revelation. Revelation coming from where? Allah. So that's why when you follow the Prophet, you are following Allah. Because he's the one who has the straight connection with Allah. And if we want to establish that connection with Allah, we have to do exactly what the Prophet did. So there will be, if we understand this, there will be no chance for addition or deletion from this religion. And that's why Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, the second verse number 2. So he said that الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I completed your religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I perfected my gift to you, from my favor to you, by making you a Muslim. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I'm pleased with Islam as your deen. So Islam is supposed to be your deen. Deen means religion, way of life. So if a person chooses any other way than Islam, Allah will be pleased with it? No. Allah said three things. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I completed your religion. So if anyone wants to add to the religion, so he is deleting or denying that statement of Allah. Because Allah said, today the deen is complete, the religion is complete. And a person adding to it, even without saying that this religion is incomplete, he is saying it by his action. By adding it, that means this religion is not complete, and I am completing it. That means I am thinking better than Rasulullah, better than Allah Himself. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive. Second statement. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Today I perfected my favor on you. That means there is no other way than the way I prescribed to you. So if you seek to come close to me, if you come close to me only through what I prescribed. And that's the ni'mah completely. You want the blessing of Allah to come? That's channel. Only through that way. So if a person seeks it through some other channel, also he is denying that second statement of Allah. Third one. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I'm pleased with Islam as a whole package, as your system, as your criteria, as your constitution, as your way of life. If a person thinks that there is some other way will help better, so that means he's objecting to that exact statement of Allah that Islam is enough for us. Islam is enough for us. No. Islam is not enough. You are living here. You have to do this, you have to do that. And that is a manifestation of ignorance. You would say that if you were knowledgeable enough in the practices of Islam to the point that you say, I studied everything, I tried everything, but nothing working, so I have to seek some other way. Who is that person now? Who is that person who did everything? Believe me, if a person like that, he will be so involved with Islam that he does not have any time to practice any other thing. Because he is finding the sweetness of Iman, sweetness of belief, sweetness of faith, sweetness of spirituality that he is gaining day by day by practicing this religion. The way it is. Eventually he will think that nothing else works for me. This one works for me. Even I sacrifice other things, I don't care. That is my religion of Islam. And by this we will be abiding by the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we saw that how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so strict with that with his companions. He does not want them to think that it is the quantity that counts. You can do quantity later on, but not at the start. Like, I learned how to pray, so I'll pray 1,000 rak'ah. I'm thinking that's the way it is. No. You can do quantity, but after you establish the quality first. Quality first. Prophet says, when you are active, when you are able, do volunteer prayers. We are not talking now about based, about compulsory prayers. We are not talking about this. Yeah, we have to pray 5 times a day. There's no doubt in it. Even if you are sick, even if you are in bed, even if you are dying, still prayer is not deleted. It's not. You are not excused from it. We are not talking about this one. We are talking about extra. Do extra. And the Prophet used to do extra. And he advised his companions to do extra. And the companions used to make prayer at night, the middle of the night. And this is extra from you, for your own good, to be a better Muslim and to be a perfect human being. And to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the paradise. So they do extra, but the Prophet said, you don't exceed the limit. There is that very precise measurement there. Yes, you love Allah, you want to do more and more and more, but you be extra careful. Don't think that by just doing more and more, you are better. Don't think that way. You will be better eventually, but not you thinking that. Not working for it. I'll pray every night, and that's the way I'll be better than all the people in the masjid now. Your prayer doesn't count, if this is your intention. No, I will pray, I will perfect my prayer, so Allah be pleased with me, and then quantity will come later on, because I will be so in love with praying that I'm getting the effects of it that I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave it. SubhanAllah, when you read the books of history, you see strange things. It looks strange to us, or it sounds strange for us. Like for example, Ali ibn Umar al-Bazzar, one of the great scholars of tradition of the Prophet, collecting history and the hadith. Hadith means the sayings of the Prophet or the actions of the Prophet. So Ali ibn Umar al-Bazzar, who is from the time of Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah, the great scholar also of Islam, the 600 Hijri years of Hijra, something like that. He's saying people used to come to pray behind Ibn Taymiyyah to listen to Takbirat al-Ihram. To listen to him while he's saying Allahu Akbar to start the prayer. What is that? Yeah, they come of course to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that special part Ibn Taymiyyah used to do it in a certain way that people's hearts shake by just saying Allahu Akbar. How he reaches that level? He feels well what he says in the prayer. When he says Allahu Akbar, you know what that means, that word? Allah is the greatest. But he feels it from inside that Allah is greater than anything. Makes him shake from that. Imagine this. How these people close to the practice of the Prophet, that they knew and they figured out the real meaning of prayer, to a point that just starting the prayer, different. It is different for all the people praying behind them. Was starting the prayer. The Sheikh, one time I listened to his lecture, he was mentioning about one of his friends, Imam in the Masjid in Egypt. So people go to Ramadan, you know, Ramadan you pray Taraweeh. They went to Taraweeh and he started the prayer. So he said, Allahu Akbar, and then the Imam starts crying. He starts crying so hard, so deep from his heart. What is this? We wait, yani, 2-3 rak'ah until we warm up, and then the things heat up, and then the recitation of the salah, then we start crying, or the dua, and the last thing of the prayer. That's what we do. But this man, Allahu Akbar, crying? What is this? And all the men start crying. So someone came and asked me, Shaykh, subhanAllah, yani, why you cried after saying Allahu Akbar? He said, suddenly, the moment I said Allahu Akbar, I found that we don't believe in that. We don't do this. We just say it. Allah is the greatest. But is really Allah greater than my love for my job? Is love of Allah is greater than love for my family? Is Allah greater than my love for this life? I find that answer to this question, no. All of them. I love to be in this life forever. I love to have this. I love to have this. But I did not for one second love to serve Allah's cause. This is not a priority for me. You ask people now, what is your mission statement? Some people, they do that. They write even in their computer. They write, okay, what is my priority in my life? Okay, my family, my job, then practicing the religion. Muslim. Practicing the religion. It comes, you know, at the end. Whenever I have a spare time, it's my leisure to practice the religion. How do you expect that person would understand Allahu Akbar? How he would understand the word Allahu Akbar? How you understand that the Prophet said, three, if they are in the heart of someone, you will taste the sweetness of belief. So belief has sweetness? Yeah, sweetness, literal meaning. Literal meaning of sweetness. You will taste it. Not in your mouth, but you taste some happiness coming from somewhere, you don't know what it is. That Allah and His Rasul dearer to you than anything in the world, that's number one. Number two, when you love someone, you love him for the sake of Allah. Number three, if you hate to go back to the disbelief or ignorance or the state of ignorance, like you hate to be thrown into hellfire. If you really do those three things, and they are hard, by the way, it's not easy just as I talk. They're very hard. Exactly hard. Take each one of them and practice for a week and see how much you will get at the end. Because all of us will get zero from the beginning. That and يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مثل الله and His Rasul, His Messenger, dearer to his or her heart than anything in the world. Wake up in the morning and have that statement in your mind and start living your life. Each and everything, you have to ask yourself a question: is this mentioned in the Book of Allah? Is this what Rasulullah did? Is this the way it should be done, or is it not the way it should be done? And see, you will do it as according to the Quran and Sunnah. You will not do it, or you will hesitate in doing it. You will find hundreds of things every day. Either you forget the Sunnah, forget the tradition of the Prophet and the Quran, or you hesitate. But rarely you will abandon what you are doing and follow the right one. That's number one. So how can you experience the sweetness of belief? Number two, and you help al mar'a la yuhibbu illa Allah, to love someone except nothing but for the sake of Allah. You know why? I was talking with a brother today. You know why Allah makes a condition that one? You love it only for the sake of Allah? Because as human beings, we are created always that our mind and our heart attach to something with benefit to us. Like I do something because it gains me benefit. So when Allah created us, He said benefit is jannah. Benefit is jannah. So it is something eternal. So that's why we're striving in there, even whatever happens to us. So Allah says, you love each other. But since we expect something from the other party in return for that love,
Of course, we will not love each other if this is the case. So Allah, Rasulullah made it a reason that never said. Allah said, you love it for the sake of Allah. Is this reason will finish one day? I love you for the sake of Allah. Is this going to change for the sake of Allah? Say, Allah is there. حَيُّ لَا يَمُوتُ قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ صَرَدُ. Nobody like him. No beginning, no end. Allah is the one. My love, this is the reason for me to love you. As long as the reason remains, I still love you. We'll move together and we'll get out of it together and we will overcome together and our love will increase, not decrease. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love his companion and his follower, and he explained that in the hadith. He said, I'm pulling you back and you are going towards fire like the butterflies. But when there is fire, you just go run to it. You get burned. And the butterfly, see the other butterfly also going. But still they go. And I'm pulling you back, but you are escaping from my hand. Why a person do that? When you see the people, you say, oh, okay, go. Fine, I just advise you, go to whatever you like. But the Prophet, to the last moment, out of his love for his nation, for his ummah, for his followers, he stands with them. And in the way of judging them, each and every person, even the Prophet, would say that same. Oh Allah, myself, I don't care about anyone else except one person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would prostrate under the throne of Allah and would say, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati. Ya Allah, my followers, my followers. I want to make sure that my followers saved first, then me. See that love? No one can have this love. So Rasulullah teaching us how to love. So if we love the religion of Allah, believe me, we will understand the importance of that subject. That someone wants to act in the religion, or integrate in the religion, or deviate the people from the religion. And the importance of the devil himself trying to pull us out from the spirit. Who will know that? So we love that, but if we don't have that religion as a priority in our life, and perhaps in our life, what is he talking about? What is this? Who's going to integrate in the religion? Whatever he knows. He just comes and magic practice, and when Ramadan comes and fast. It's okay, Sheikh. What I want so much like this. Yeah, well, I want that everybody start changing Islam. Huh? Everybody start changing Islam. And I'm so worried about it. Me, myself, start forgetting sometimes. So I'm reminding myself before reminding anyone else. So that is a good introduction about how important to have a role model. Because once you have a certain set of rules and foundation, now you abide by it, which is the Book of Allah, Quran, and the Sunnah of the Prophet, and we explained in the khutbah how important is the Sunnah. You will not understand the Quran without the Sunnah. It is a revelation as well, by the way. Allah said in Surah Al-Najm, Surah the Star, Allah said, وَمَا يَنْسُكُمْ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيٌّ. He is not uttered anything from his own mind. It is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning what? Meaning, you know, he uttered things like to the people that fight. But here Allah means the things relating to the practice of your religion. Anything you have worship or advice or moral or dealing or society or community, it is all the revelation. He does not involve his personal opinions in it, the Prophet himself. It is coming from Allah to him through revelation, and he explained it through the real life example of Ahlul Bayt. So, importance of having a set of rules and the role model to practice it in front of us. If you have those in your mind, you know that there should be no chance for someone to come and say, I will establish my own set of rules are here. Or I think this is better to do. No, there was a best role model of all, he did that way, and it worked, and it still works. So, no chance for adding to that religion or the religion to commit. And I mentioned before the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas one time when they were to Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is the place after people come and hike pilgrimage from the mountain of Arafah. They come down to rest at that night. Then they go practice the rest of the hajj pilgrimage. So he told them, "Urkut li mithla halqa al-khad, fit for me like small, like bean sized stone, so I can throw the shaitan." Remember, I told you last week, "Wala taghdu fi al-din," and do not exceed the limit in your religion. He's talking about stone. But why that stone is connected to the religion? If I pick a bigger stone, that means that I am being accepted to practice the religion? Even this, yes. Because when the Prophet says something precise, it has to stay precise. He told them it's the exact size of the stone. Why he said that? Because it's so important to follow the Prophet as he said. If he says something in general, that's another issue. But when he says something specific, it has to stay specific. Because he does not want to leave it to everyone's interpretation, and I explained before the book one. Because everyone is sometimes get overzealous. Shaitan is there, okay, let me grab the biggest stone in the world. Okay, come on, buddy, let's carry it together. Go ahead to Shaitan. And they end up with killing 2-3 people in the way. So, Shaitan killed you. He did not kill Shaitan. But he said, this is a symbol. And the symbol has to stay like that. So you will go there, subhanAllah, you find 2-3 million people striving, and that's beautiful, to follow the tradition of the Prophet. Striving to pick that small. Otherwise, you will just go there and you find stones, millions of these stones around you. But see how the love has, believe me, this pilgrimage teach a person a lot of details. Believe me, you come a different human being if you really look into those details. You go there and find people with flashlights and with things, and they want to get smaller. Why do they want to get smaller? That is the last tradition for the tradition of the Prophet. Because they know if they don't do that, that means they are drifting away from something the Prophet did himself. You don't feel comfortable from inside. And that is one of the signs of your love to this religion. The other person, when you find someone, it doesn't matter. And this way, word doesn't matter, is the start of all evil religions. One time, we're in the masjid. Long run from the story. In the masjid, after Salatul Isha. So a person came late in the prayer. So he came like after one rak'ah, it's over. So he prayed three. So after the imam said, salam alaykum, he should go up and finish the rak'ah that he missed. So he did salam also with the people. And he's a Muslim and person in the society, he's not ignorant or anything about salah. He is born Muslim and he's like 50 years old or something. I've been praying for all. So the brother said, yes, I know. He said, Allah accepted, inshallah. Allah accepted. Inshallah, Allah will accept. Yeah, you are better than Allah. Allah knows what's my intention for the time. Three, like four, doesn't matter. Allah said, it's just like that. That's exactly how people sometimes think. Then the heart becomes so hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ خُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ هَيَكَ الْحِجَارَةِ. Because one time after the other, your heart will become harder than a stone. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. Like something became automatic, became normal, became a routine. You do it or you don't do it. Some people, they are strict in their meal time. In their going to bed time. Very strict in that. 7 o'clock, the kids have to be in bed. It doesn't matter. Prayer, no prayer, have to be in bed at that time. He has to drink the glass of milk before. He has to wake up this time. He has to exercise 7 miles every day. People sit there, it's very strict like this, but they compromise with the religion. Compromise, it doesn't matter. Isha is 8 o'clock, when the time table changes, it becomes 9 o'clock, but I have to go to bed 8:30. I cannot go to Isha at 9 o'clock. I'm not imagining things, by the way. Those are things happening in our community here. Happening, it happens. It's too much. Why you start compromising the religion to a point that you start doing some other religion? Completely another religion. But if you make the religion your core and you adjust your life according to that religion, it's completely different. You taste the sweetness of the religion. So exceeding the limit is the allowed thing. What about adding to the religion? And the hadith, subhanAllah, of Salman and Abu Darda, is very beautiful. The hadith narrated in Bukhari. Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, Prophet Muhammad made brotherhood between Salman and Abu Darda. So when Salman went to the house of Abu Darda, his brother was staying with him, he saw his wife not taking care of herself, you know, much. So he asked her, he said, Abu Darda is a person who fasts the day and who spends the night praying, and he does not have interest in wife or anything. He abandoned this life. Subhanallah, he's living in this life. He abandoned this life when he died, finished. But Allah created you in this life, so you have to live in this life, take the means of this life, but don't make it, you have to collect as much money as you like, as long as it's two conditions. One condition is the money is not your heart, one condition is you're getting from halal and sending it to halal. Simple. And you're getting the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have those two conditions, believe they will watch everything you are doing. But have, you become a millionaire, no problem. Have more than one car, no problem. But as long as you are giving the right of Allah is getting halal, spending halal. And the money is not in your heart. It is in your hands, no problem. I have to do have it, no problem. We come and eat, Ya Abu Jarrah. That's why I'm fasting. He said, Wallah, you have to eat. You have to, I'm not eating until you eat. So he ate with his brother. So the night he went to spend the night, he said, you sleep. Okay. Then we woke up later and said, and then we went to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, yes, he is right. Yeah, your body have a right upon you to rest. Your visitors have a right upon you to come and meet them and eat with them and have some chat with them. Your wife have a right on you, your spouse have a right on you, the wife, the kids, the woman, your husband have a right on you, everyone have a right on you. So this is the ban. And believe you, me, brothers and sisters, the worship, act of worship in Islam, is not a goal. Meaning that it is not the final thing that you come and pray and that's done. No. The goal is what the prayer brings, what values that the prayer brings in our life. It's not the goal we fast and we abstain from food and drink and we suffer from hunger. No. What that will bring to our soul and our behavior. Charity, pilgrimage, all this kind of worship. If it does not bring a change and establish a moral and a value in our life, it is exercise. So there's some value coming behind it. So that's actually very, very important in understanding journey. But the people who think it is a goal, they want to go quantity and quantity, and they end up with doing innovation with it. Because they don't know the value behind it. They think by praying, that's the final goal, so I have to pray more and more and more and more and more. Because I have reached the ultimate goal. No. Prayer has to bring, has to make you abstain from anything wrong. Prayer has to make you nice to the people, have to learn the organization, have to be honest, have to be disciplined. If the prayer does not do that, no need for it. So if you know that these are the real goals of the prayer, you will not care about quantity. You will only care about what? Quality of the prayer. When you pray one rak'ah or two rak'ah, you want to make them perfect. So they bring the change in your life. So you don't care about the praying hungry now. You care about whenever you are praying, it doesn't matter the amount, I have to do the right way. So, and we have the best of the example about, I mean not the best, the clearest example of bid'ah or innovation of religion, which is the Khawarij, the people who call Khawarij, that means they went out of their religion. Rasulullah predicted them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, يَحْقِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ صَلَاتَهُ بِصَلَاتِهِ. And when you compare your prayer to this, to one of them, of their prayer, no, I'm not. يقرؤون القرآن لا يزال حناجرهم. They read Quran, they do not go out of their throne, they do not bring any impact into life. ويخرجون من الدين كخروج كالسهم من الرمية, like the arrow going out from the bow, they go as fast as that. So it is not a matter of outside of that. It is not a matter of how the person looks. Oh, mashallah. Person, whenever you see him praying. Allahu A'lam, what's inside? Allah knows this. Even the quality, you don't judge by outside. Your inside has to be clear as well. Be extra careful. Quantity is not as important as quality. Sincerity is very important. You have to know. Sincerity will make the quality better, and then will make each and everything you do, even you miss the quantity part. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses, he said about his straight path. And when the action comes after he mentioned about his straight path, you will know that the people who innovate in the religion, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. Those who divided and dissected the religion, became sects and groups, they are not your followers, they are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because it is one way, as I told you, it is one way, straight, long, yes, but it is straight, everybody can see it. So when you put a blind person on the beginning of the road and you tell him it is straight, do not drift here or there, it can be.